All right, and hello and welcome back, everybody. Episode number 399. We're almost at episode 400. Couple ideas floating out there for stuff and directions for the show and what I may do personally are kind of bouncing around in my head for the future, but you know, today may not be the time or place to necessarily discuss that. Did voters get duped? Did the people who voted for Trump and supported Trump get duped? I see a lot of people saying that. Do I think it's true? We'll see. We'll talk about it. I also want to talk about the tariffs and some of the stuff that I've been looking into more recently. But we'll discuss that all in the show. Probably won't go for an insane amount of time, but you know, there's people in the chat. You guys have questions and just want to tell me how you're doing, then I appreciate everybody's company and all the listeners. So before we get into the rest of today's show, make sure you go to all the links below to get everything that you need. I got a order from Tiger Fitness coming for creatine pills, branched chain amino acids. They have the Pump Chaser Strawberry Lemonade, which is just like the best tasting amino acids you've ever had, as well as some shirts because my wife is getting bigger and bigger and she needs her own shirts. So I'm calling them her maternity shirts. And then once she's done, you know, bearing our child, then they will be my shirts. So go to Tiger Fitness through the links below, use code Kyle at checkout to let them know that I sent you, all that good stuff. Fox and Sons, Deem Fit through those links below as well. Code Kyle works everywhere. Let's talk about if voters were duped or not, and we'll kind of get into all this good stuff today. And like I said, if you guys have any questions or anything like that, we'll touch on that too. And hello, everybody. Welcome back to In Liberty and Health. Just kind of wanted to give a little update. Hopefully everybody enjoys Sunday's show with Cameron. I thought that was an absolutely fantastic show. Really, really enjoyed talking to him and definitely will have future conversations with him. The connection issues in about the first, I would say, 15 minutes or so, maybe half hour, were a little rough, but we managed to get through that. He went outside, I think. And then the connectivity kind of stabilized and all that good stuff. So I thought the conversation was really, really good. And if you're on TikTok, make sure you go find me on TikTok and follow me on TikTok because I'm throwing up shorts there. So if you don't want to sit here and listen to me drone on or talk to my guests for an hour plus, then you can always go over to TikTok where I'll just have a little bit more short form content. And of course, on YouTube, I always have a little bit more short form stuff occasionally going up as well. So lots of stuff going on. Tariffs on China. We're fighting this whole trade war, even though it kind of just seems like more of the same, because what a lot of people, I think, failed to realize is that Biden never really took any of the tariffs off on China. And, you know, we levied a lot of those tariffs back in, I think it was 2018, 2017, something like that. So those were there for a while and they're still here and they ramped them up. And now they're bringing them back down and the stock market's all over the place. We talked about this a little bit on Post Zero this past Sunday, so feel free to go back and listen to that as well if you want to hear me and Jack kind of go back and forth about the stock market. But I will talk about that a little bit here. Some foreign policy stuff I wanted to talk about, and obviously a little bit about RFK as well, because I was in the camp of fell for it, if you I kind of hate that meme, but it is kind of funny to me nonetheless. That I'm sure you guys have seen the meme, the Fell For It Again award, and it's a dude wearing a MAGA hat and then there's a button underneath that says Fell For It Again. I kind of get it, but I also understand, and it's good to have some optimism, but maybe this is just me being absolutely jaded, but when I guess this kind of gets us right into foreign policy stuff, but when everybody was sharing that clip of Trump on Tim Kass saying that you can talk to Yemen and these other countries in a way that they respect you and they listen to you, how anybody bought that he wouldn't do exactly what he's doing right now, I just don't know. Was it naivete? Was it just, oh, we're taking Trump at his word? I don't know, but we had 4 years of Trump to kind of see how he'd behave when in office. And I think it's pretty safe to look at people's past behavior and assume that that's how they're going to act in the future, barring some major change, which it didn't seem like Trump had went or underwent any kind of huge ideological shift or change. Granted, there were different people around him, but when it came to the foreign policy realm, there really wasn't a whole batch of new people around him. And hopefully you guys don't hear my dog barking. He's going absolutely nuts downstairs. But, you know, he went on Timcast and spoke out against Biden bombing Yemen, which I think was the right position to have because, you know, really, we could probably pay Yemen off, honestly. Like, that's the poorest country in the Middle East. And also, I think the big elephant in the room with a lot of this conversation when it comes to bombing Yemen is just that if you put Israel on a leash, probably wouldn't have to deal with Yemen because they don't necessarily like it that much when people that they view as very similar to themselves are getting slaughtered. So they did whatever they thought they could do to help kind of bring a little bit more leverage of the situation by bombing U.S. ships and, you know, stopping the not necessarily stopping, but trying to put a hamper on the trade routes there. You need to calm down. But so they did what they thought was right, and Trump obviously struck back against them. And, you know, we talked about Signalgate a little bit on the show with Dave DeCamp. But, you know, once again, it's not really defending Europe. Like, I understand they probably get more trade through the Red Sea than the U.S. does, but everybody knows it was to benefit Israel. It wasn't to benefit the U.S., really. But, you know, J.D. Vance was the only one that really had any pushback, and then he said, oh, excellent. We live in an apartment building. If China were to, let's say, drop a bomb in Baltimore on the poorest area in Baltimore, and their Xi and whoever the military personnel over there started saying excellent, do you think we would feel the slightest bit of sympathy for them if, you know, we like nuked all of Beijing? Probably not. And this asymmetrical application of logic just absolutely drives me nuts. Just drives me up a freaking wall. So the other thing I wanted to talk about a little bit is EV stuff. So I may or may not start digging a little bit more into EVs because anybody that knows me knows I'm a pretty pro EV guy. Not in the respect that I think everybody needs to be driving an EV tomorrow, but the technology fascinates me. They're just awesome to drive. And I know everybody's going to be sounding off because, oh, this guy's endorsing EVs. I've driven enough. I've worked on them. They're simpler. There's different costs associated with it, but I like them. I like them quite a bit. I'm pro EV in the respect that if there's a market for them and there's a demand for them and people like them, then people should be able to buy them. And it would be really, really cool if we could bring the prices of EVs down so that way average people could afford to drive electric vehicles. You know, I've said it before, but the electric vehicle, the EV Hummer, is just like one of the coolest things ever. To drive a 10,000 pound SUV that goes 0 to 60 in, I think it's under 5 seconds, is just mind boggling. And plus they're pretty comfy to ride in. You'd think they'd be a little bit bigger, but they're not like as big as you would think, but still they're just so freaking neat. So that being said, I started looking to manganese because manganese is a metal that's used in the batteries. So like the Hummer EVs right now, I want to make sure I get this right. Nickel, cobalt, manganese, and aluminum are what their batteries are made out of now. Where I think it was like 10, 15 years ago, they used to use what was called nickel metal hydride. That's what they used to make the batteries. And China and India, I think, are like the top producers of manganese. And I think they just found recently a large like manganese deposit in India. So I know this is kind of goes to a little bit more geopolitical and economic stuff, but as the push for EVs gets greater and greater, then obviously we're going to need to figure out how to facilitate getting more manganese here. And I think it was in a certain reef, and you know, maybe I could look this up, but there was a certain reef, I think near Japan, where they actually didn't have to drill or anything for this manganese. Because like typically the thought process is on getting a lot of like these metals for EVs is that you have to like either extract them from the ground doing like mining, which can be dangerous and, you know, obviously very, very time consuming and very labor intensive. these deposits of manganese in the reefs over near, like, I think it's Japan, India, and like over there in the Asian continent, they can just kind of pick these out of the ocean rather than having to go do some ridiculous mining and potentially any creating any kind of huge environmental hazard, which is very, very interesting. And I know people bring up how, like, you know, to get rid of an EV battery is as bad as getting rid of, you know, driving a Hummer for a lifetime. I don't know how much that stands anymore, but also, like, getting this manganese from the reefs over there in the Asian continent, also really, really will bring down the overall, like, harmful lifespan of electric vehicles. Now, once again, I could caveat this a million times and people are still going to freak out, but, like, if you want to drive your gas-powered V8 or your big old Duramax diesel, I have no problems with that. I hate diesels. I think they stink. But, like, if that's your jam, you should be able to drive that. Granted, the U.S. government doesn't agree anymore, but I would love it if people could, hey, I'm going to get this V8 Corvette, and I'm going to tune it up and take off all the emissions devices and just rock and roll. I want to drive as fast as possible. I think you should be allowed to do that. Same deal with diesels. If you want to delete all the stuff, the DEF fluid, all that bullshit, then I think you should be able to do that. And, you know, it's your vehicle. And clearly we know that, like, a lot of the global warming stuff, I think people assume omnipotence when it comes to those kind of issues, when it comes to global warming, where everything that we do makes the world automatically worse. And any little bit of carbon that you're putting into the atmosphere is just going to make all the plants, trees, babies, and goldfish die. But I just don't think it's quite that true. Like, we can't exactly observe how the ozone and all these environmental factors are going to change over the course of decades. Everyone's hopefully have heard it, and I've said it on the show before, that, like, some of the forests are greener than they've ever been. Some of the rivers are deeper than they've ever been. There's a lot of nuance here when it comes to the idea of the environment. And I think just assuming that everything that we do to the environment is bad, I think is wrong, because you're kind of assuming your conclusion and then working back from that. Whereas we need to kind of look at it from a more objective perspective. And then even then, that's a little bit difficult, because it's like, you know, how do we know that all these, you know, maybe whatever markers they're using to determine overall global warming are actually bad? And how do we know that, like, you know, from 100 years ago that, like, 200 years ago, they weren't even worse, but then got better and then maybe got worse again? We just don't know, because we didn't have the technology to record a lot of these things for hundreds and hundreds of years. So, yeah, maybe I'll be doing a little bit more stuff into EVs, just because, like I said, that stuff kind of interests me. But other than that, I know that was a long tangent on electric vehicle stuff, but I think a lot of the people who voted for Trump were in the right mindset, right? And I had a tweet, and I want to read it out just to kind of convey my thoughts on the matter. Everybody knows, I said it plenty of times, I didn't vote because I just looked at the way that Trump campaigned and how he's all over the board. It didn't seem reasonable to assume that any good would have really came out of it. To me, it seemed like a lot more business as usual. And there has been some good stuff that came out of the Trump administration. Now it kind of seems like he's walking some of this stuff back. But at the same time, you know, when the whole, when it came to vote for the budget, right, it really seemed like, oh, we're not actually that serious about a lot of this stuff. Because when it came time to actually cut spending and change the overall budget, they berated Thomas Massie for doing it. Be good to see you, man. Hopefully you're doing well as well. I am fantastic. We're going to be playing, I guess I should plug in Common Crown now, but yeah, we're going to be playing up in Butler here in 10 days. So if you're in the Butler, Pennsylvania area, feel free to come check us out. It will be a fantastic show with our dear friends in Skell. Really looking forward to that. We haven't played with them in quite a while. But anyways, when it came time to actually cut spending and, like, secure the Doge cuts, they didn't do it. They berated Thomas Massie, the only guy who was actually saying, like, oh, we should actually like sign these cuts into law. But then, of course, they signed back in Biden's budget back into law, which is exactly the pace that they were spending last year. And then obviously, if you paid any attention recently, then Pete Hegseth announced that they're doing a $1 trillion military budget, where at the beginning of Trump's term, they were basically saying that, oh, we're going to cut overall spending. He was saying that, oh, maybe we convince China and Russia to... Sorry. Maybe we can convince China and Russia to reduce their spending, which seemed like a lofty goal. But, you know, I dig it. I'm down for it. So in this tweet, this guy had said, I voted for no more wars, Trump. What happened to that, dude? So I had laid out here my thoughts about the whole voting for Trump deal and how I think people kind of got duped, but also kind of didn't. Sometimes my dogs just go fucking nuts for no good reason. I understand why people voted for Trump. I still think if you did vote this election and supported Trump, that was a better decision, even above supporting a third party. So people say that, like, oh, we should have supported a third party because that's the only way to escape the duopoly. Okay, well, I'm sorry, but like, voting for a third party is basically just sending a message. If you were a libertarian or anybody right-leaning, what was your message that you were sending by supporting Chase Oliver? It wasn't a good one. It was that you basically align with a lot of, like, the perception, at least, was that you align with Democrats politically, really, and socially, even though I've made the argument that he was actually, like, on policy, pretty much on par with Trump. Like, they were pro-vaccine, but not pro-mandate. They're basically for immigration, although Trump is kind of cracking down on, like, illegal immigration in a way. Spoke out against illegal immigration, but like their social views, their cultural views, that is, were like the exact same, right? Pro gay marriage, pro choice, pro potentially transitioning children, because Trump had brought that up a few times. Although, to his credit, he did do the executive order declaring that there's only men and women, which just like how this has to be an executive order. It shows you how far we've fallen. Yeah, I didn't even know the name of the Libertarian candidate yet, and that's for the best. If you chose to vote, like I said, just Chase Oliver was very hostile to like the Ron Paul, Thomas Massey camp of Libertarians, which is where I put myself in. How Libertarians told themselves to vote for that guy, I don't know. Trump at least pandered to Libertarians, right? He came to the convention, spoke, said, if you vote for me, then I'll put a Libertarian in my cabinet, which he never did, but he at least pandered to right-leaning libertarians. Now, granted, I think it's just to get their votes. It wasn't because he was going to follow through on some great libertarian promise. There's no real will or constituency for that. The whole freeing Ross Ulbricht thing, yeah, that's awesome, but it took no political will at that point because there's no political will to keep him, like political pressure keeping him in prison. So getting him out of prison wasn't really like a big to-do, you know what I mean? So, going back to the tweet here. Scroll for too long, didn't read. I always try to do that. People who are surprised that he's allowing Israel to slaughter civilians in Gaza, bombing Yemen and Somalia, and saber-rattling with Iran and China clearly just ignored his campaign. My point here was that he literally said that, you know, we'll blow up major cities in Tehran. You know, we're going to position ourselves more strongly towards China. And then he kept saying that Israel needs to finish the job fast. And that, I forget what exactly happened, but he basically said pass unlimited aid to Israel. And there was a ceasefire briefly, but I mean, the standing precedent for so long was to just give Israel everything they want. I mean, he did that in his first term. So why would it be any different in the second term? I don't understand, especially when, you know, you had a lot of Zionist donors that donated to Trump. I think that was what they were expecting he would do. And obviously he followed up on it. Even when it comes to Ukraine, the stated position was to give them more aid and weapons. Trump was also the first president to send Javelin anti-tank missiles into Ukraine. Don't take my word for it. He still brags about it, which he does. Like a lot of the talking points around Ukraine, people failed to like recognize that Trump was on every side of every issue when it came to Ukraine, where his response on the campaign, or at least his proposed idea to end the war in Ukraine, which he said he would do as president-elect. Last time I checked, he's been president for about 4 months. So, and then he said he would do it on day one, which, well, initially he said he would do it on day one, but then he said he would do it as president-elect. Well, obviously that never happened, and I called it as such. And that's not to say that I had some, like, profound genius or something like that. It was just obvious, at least to me. A lot of other people said that he would end it on day one, but like I said, to me, that seemed obvious that he wouldn't do that. But his stated position was to tell Russia that I'll give Ukraine more weapons than they've ever got, and then to tell Ukraine basically strategic ambiguity. Russia, if you fuck around, you'll find out. Ukraine, if you fuck around, you won't find out because we won't give you shit. But then, like, this whole mineral deal, he was saying that he was going to give them security guarantees and aid. Yeah. Marty, no, I don't. Believe me. If I had profound genius, I wouldn't be fixing cars. But, yeah, I mean, he just throughout that whole meeting, he was saying that, oh, you know, we'll give you security guarantees, arms, aid, all that stuff. And then it was by, you know, not necessarily pure luck, but I mean, it was J.D. Vance basically said, F you, no, we don't want to do that. And then Zelensky really blew it up in his own face. So, the MAGA circle jerk, this election showcased that people cared more about rhetoric and hopium than actual policy. Rhetoric isn't something that you can or should ignore, but it's not something to base your expectations on, especially when those campaigning want your vote. This was another point that I just couldn't stress enough. People listened to everything that Trump said and thought that, like, the overall rhetoric of ending the war in Ukraine, which was great rhetoric, was going to be like the official policy. Clearly it wasn't. Which, you know, if that was your expectations, I'm sorry, but you kind of got duped. If you really thought that this is going to be some libertarian utopia, then, I mean, I don't know what to tell you other than, why do you trust campaigning politicians? A campaigning politician is looking for one thing, and that's your vote. They want your support, whether it be financial, whether it be at the ballot box. They're looking for something out of you. So what's a good way to get something from people if you want something from them? You tell them what they want to hear. I mean, if you're a dude in the chat or if you're a dude watching this video, you've probably told women something that you know they would like to make them like you more, right? No, I'm not saying that's the genius way to get yourself laid, but what I'm saying is that when you want people to do something, you typically don't call them an asshole and then expect them to do something for you, because it's a poor way to get people to do things that you want. So, yeah, it just, people were nonsensical in my mind about this. We had 4 years of Trump before. Things can and have changed, but none of the foreign policy trajectory should be surprising to anyone. Too long, didn't read. This is my summary. I think you selectively listen to Trump if you believe you're getting an anti-war president. Supporting Trump over Kamala was still the right move if you decide to vote, but nothing happening in the foreign policy lane should surprise you if you paid attention to Trump's rhetoric and previous record. Ugh. Drives me nuts. You all drive me nuts. But let me run a ad real quick, and we will be right back into it. Where the hell is the damn thing? All right, we're going to take a second a day to chill and tell you about the show's sponsors, Tiger Fitness. Make sure you go to the link below to get all the supplements that I use day in, day out, and beyond. As I always say, you do not need supplements to become all jacked and tan or to progress in your health journey, but they could definitely be a useful tool in that respect. So as you can see, on tigerfitness.com, we got MTS Nutrition, Blackstone Labs, Ambrosia, HPN, Nutrix Research, America Labs, Alani Nu, Pump Chasers, there's Redcon One, Accent Sledge, plenty of different companies that pretty much have absolutely any supplement you could possibly think of. Pre-workouts, fat burners, BCAAs, electrolyte mixes, you name it, it's on there. So go to Tiger Fitness through the link below. Use code Kyle at checkout to let them know that I sent you. Get your protein powder, you name it, anything that's going to help you stick to your diet and hopefully achieve your health goals. All right, thanks. Back to the show. All right. So the other thing I kind of wanted to talk about was RFK. So we've been seeing, Steak and Shake is a big one that comes to mind, but they're talking about frying their fries in tallow. I'm not here to tell you how your diet should be. I'm not here to tell you what you should or shouldn't eat. And I'm not even here to tell you that steak and shake's good or bad. If you're asking me, I fucking love Steak and Shake. Their burgers are absolutely incredible. But that being said, this whole campaign to replace, this whole campaign against seed oils, I've spoken about it plenty of times now and people hate me for it, but I'm right. You're wrong. tallow may taste better, right? Butter tastes good, but the truth out of all the data I've seen, and more data comes out to support this all the time. And there was just another meta-analysis recently, and I want to touch on this a little bit as well. About beef, but seed oils are fine. The stuff you fry your food in is fine. When you fry those foods and you constantly heat up the oil, you cool it down, you heat it up over and over again, which is what largely happens to some of these fried foods. As you can see, my dog just will do anything for my attention. Then there is a potential to create trans fats, which are uniformly bad for cardiovascular health and overall health. Seed oils themselves, that little spray of canola oil, that teaspoon of canola oil, or, you know, when you cook a steak and they put down canola oil on the grill, that is not bad for you. In fact, it's actually good for you. It is cardioprotective. Omega-6 fatty acids are fine for you. The reason why people get this so mixed up is because they looked at some animal research and determined that when you feed mice a shitload of omega-6, a whole bunch of seed oils, if you will, omega-6 oils, and you give them no omega-3, their inflammatory markers go through the roof. Well, they're also consuming a lot of calories, but on top of that, it's largely the lack of omega-3 that is very inflammatory. And also when you expose people to a caloric surplus for an extended period of time, inflammation markers go up. Your CRP, which is your C-reactive protein, which is a measure they take whenever they take your blood, that marker will go up. Okay, so why does any of this matter? Because RFK is on this campaign against seed oils, calling them inflammatory. Okay, if they were inflammatory, we should see this in human outcome data, but we never see this. In fact, we always see the opposite. I believe some of that Indian street food oil has been reused for 2 years. Well, yeah, exactly. Like that stuff, probably not good for you. They use like sesame oil typically, but I mean, that's for like the seasoning and like for flavor, but like, if you see somebody like out on the middle of the street and their fryer looks like it hasn't been cleaned in years, you probably want to avoid that. But where I was going with like the trans fat stuff is that like when they make a lot of these like chicken nuggets or any of these fried foods, typically they're fried, they're frozen, so they get cold and then they get delivered and they're fried again and then they're given to you. That has a potential to create trans fats. And especially if you let them cool down, heat them back up, they usually taste like shit anyways. But like that has the potential to create trans fats, which are uniformly bad. And therefore you could say, oh, these seed oils are bad for you. But that's not the seed oil themselves, right? The canola oil, rapeseed oil, soybean oil, all that kind of stuff. Not really bad for you in its individual state by itself. Like I said, when you start frying them, and largely like even the fried foods themselves, if like you make something fresh, like let's say you make your own chicken nuggets where you get, you know, chicken breasts, you ground it up, you add the breadcrumbs, minced onion or whatever, and then fry it. That may not actually be that bad. If you air fry it, it's even better because you're not getting any oil, but like, it's just like the hyperpalatability of the foods is largely what drives a lot of obesity. Because if you look at a graph of overall caloric consumption from all the way back in the 70s until now, you could just see like overall caloric consumption just goes way, 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 way up. People now eat on average of like 3,500 calories a day and they work way less active jobs. Okay, so that alone about explains the obesity crisis. Because my caloric maintenance per day is about 2,800 calories. And like, I'm not like the biggest dude in the world, but I move around. I can lift a fuck ton of weight. I'm definitely above average when it comes to like overall fitness. And my caloric maintenance is 2,800 calories a day. So if I ate 3,500 calories a day, granted, this isn't like a one-to-one thing, but I would probably gain about a pound a week, theoretically, if we're just doing math. Now, granted, when you take in more calories, then your overall like basal metabolic rate increases because you start to digest the food. You need to expend more food. And then also people, when they go into caloric surplus, typically move more as well. So why does all this matter? Because RFK is largely chasing a boogeyman when it comes to this stuff. And even like the dyes and stuff, a lot of those studies are done in mice. Let me get to some of these comments. Marty, the RFK being blackmailed, I will get back to that in a second. And then we'll have a dirty bulk love here in this. Yeah. A 2,800, I am 5'11 and I am 206 pounds. Granted, I haven't like dug deep into my maintenance in quite a while, but just that's my, like when I was tracking pretty stringently, that's about what I was at. So RFK is largely chasing a boogeyman when it comes to like the dyes and all this stuff. Really, it's going to take the will of people upon themselves to consciously eat less to really reverse the obesity crisis. And I know that's not pretty. And also like the ubiquity of hyperpalatable foods, if you could find a way to get rid of that, okay. People are still going to overeat. I mean, we are much more comfortable sedated now than we ever have been in our entire lives. And the availability of hyperpalatable foods and just food in general really makes it easy for us to overeat. The study I was referring to earlier when it comes to beef, I just listened to this on the way home from Lane Norton. They did a meta-analysis trying to separate like the detrimental effects of beef and like animal proteins overall on health. And they did a meta-analysis where they took only randomized controlled trials on animal protein, so red meat, and they eliminated processed red meat from this whole equation. So what you typically find in a lot of like animal protein and like animal studies when it comes to like consumption of animal foods is that like the processed animal foods groups typically do a lot worse. Like they come up with high iron, colorectal cancer, higher LDL, just worse overall mortality outcomes. Now, I can't tell you what exactly the issue with that is. I would hypothesize that it's a proxy for lower overall diet quality. So if you're eating a lot of processed red meat, then the chances are you probably don't have a high overall diet quality. So therefore your health markers are overall going to be worse, right? To me, that makes sense. In this specific meta-analysis, I didn't read it. I just listened to Lane talk about it, but I'm going to share that information for you guys today. Basically, what they found is that actually there's only a modest increase of LDL cholesterol when overall like diet quality is controlled for. If you have a high fruit and vegetable intake, if you have a high fiber intake, if you live an active lifestyle, if you're just moderately healthy and you have like a little bit of a higher red meat intake, no real detrimental health effects come from it, which makes sense. Now, the caveat I would add here is you probably don't want to be mainlining butter and eating ribeye steak and 80-20 ground beef every single day at every meal. You're going to get a lot of saturated fat, and that could cause your LDL cholesterol to go up. And this is something I changed my mind on over time because I used to believe LDL really was an issue. But basically, what happens is that like LDL cholesterol is a surrogate marker for ApoB, which is an inflammatory marker, and generally kind of measures the overall like LDL that's going through your blood and potentially penetrating the endothelial lining, which are the vessels that go to your heart. If you have high LDL, people used to say, oh, well, you know, you want like the large fluffy particles of LDL, not the small dense particles. But that really doesn't matter because like the small dense particles will just get more through the endothelial lining if you have high LDL cholesterol, or in like large fluffy particles, you'll get less through. So basically like the net effect is it's the same if you have a higher LDL cholesterol. So if you have a higher LDL cholesterol over the course of a lifetime, then you are at a higher risk of having cardiovascular disease. The problem is dietary recommendations cannot be given for an extremely diverse genetic population with many from different origins. Yes and no. So like there is something to eating like where you came from, because like my understanding is like Black people are more predisposed to being diabetic. Asian people have a lower overall like personal fat threshold. So like an Asian person can get diabetic or insulin resistant, which is basically just where their fat cells no longer are taking in fat. They can get insulin resistant at a lower overall BMI because their bodies will pour that fat, like their fat cells reject the fat that they're consuming and put it into their viscera much quicker than like, let's say, European white would. So like me, I can get fat as fuck. I was 250 pounds at one point. Right now I'm 206. Leanest I've ever been was about 179 in my adult life, that is. So like European whites can get a little bit more obese than Asians can. Same with Blacks. And I'm sure there's other populations that probably have like genetic predispositions to insulin resistance as well. Generally, like your Mediterranean diet, like a high fiber, high fruit and vegetable intake with a lower saturated fat, but then like lots of, you know, omega-3 fats, so like fish, nuts, and stuff like that. A generally diverse diet is going to work for most people. Now, you can start to tweak this for, you know, as per the individual. Right now, I'm doing a little bit more of an animal-based approach with lots of fiber. If that works for you, that's great. You know, if carnivore works for you, I would recommend against that because you're going to need to get a lot of saturated fat, and that diet isn't necessarily sustainable long-term. Up to you. Keto diet, if that works for you, cool. If flexible dieting works for you, which it did for me for a long time. Right now, I'm not quite on that. I want to lose a little bit more weight. Whatever works for you is going to work best. So like everybody's caloric needs are a little bit different, and what you're going to comply best with your diet is going to be different for each individual person. So, and like all this nuance I've been explaining to you guys over the last couple of minutes is really why you can't really solve the obesity crisis. Ozempic is going to put a dent in it because it helps solve for like the lifestyle factor. But overall, you're not going to solve it without people taking responsibility for their own health. And it's not the popular answer. It's not sexy, but that's just the unfortunate truth is that like you're going to have to take responsibility for your health. So kind of getting back to the subject of the show, Marty asked, what do you think about the RFK Jr. being blackmailed rumors? I don't know for certain, but if they were true, I wouldn't be surprised at all, because when you have a guy who cites antiwar.com on the presidential campaign, in his campaign over last year, he was citing antiwar.com articles. When it came to some of the stuff, I think with Ukraine, maybe the Middle East, I can't remember exactly. But then conveniently adopts every single talking point for Israel. And you're running around with Rabbi Shmuley. And it's known that your uncle tried to get Israel to register under the Foreign Agents Registry Act. And Jack Rubenstein killed your father or your uncle's assassin. Let's just say I'm a little skeptical. Catherine Shanahan. Okay, so I'm not familiar with her. I thought you were going to refer to Kate Shanahan, who is one of these like anti-seed oil people. To touch on the LDL stuff again, and if this is boring to you guys, I apologize, but I just hope to kind of pass on the knowledge and help you guys kind of understand and make sense of nutrition. But there's mechanistic data even for the LDL stuff. And I know I harp against the mechanistic stuff, but the LDL or ApoB basically penetrates the endothelial lining, or those little LDL particles penetrate the endothelial lining, which develops into plaque. And that largely is driven by a rise in LDL over time from saturated fats and overall poor diet quality. If you're getting like less than, I think it's like 10% of your overall calories per day from saturated fat and you have a high fiber diet, you're probably fine. If you're getting the majority of your calories from saturated fat, you might want to cut back on that and figure ways to maybe increase fiber to lower your overall LDL cholesterol, right? But yeah, I would not be surprised at all if RFK is being blackmailed. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if Pete Hegseth is either, because just the veracity that they talk about Israel, it's very, very deep for them, or very, very deep in their pocketbook, or very, very deep into their personal life. And we know that both these guys, let's be honest, they like to fuck. All guys do, but you know, Pete Hegseth had 3 divorces and cheated on all of his wives. Sounds like the kind of guy you could probably pretty easily get into a honeypot. RFK, same deal. I don't know the whole story with his ex-wife, where allegedly he made her kill herself. Just saying what the situation was, YouTube, don't ban me. But I don't know to the extent of the truth of that. But like, these guys who really like to fuck, probably pretty easy to honey trap them if you give them some hot Israeli girl. And then next thing you know, surprise, she's massaged. She's 17 years old now. You guys are going to, you know, spend the rest of your life in prison if you don't advocate for everything that benefits Israel. Lindsey Graham in the comments. Thank you. Don't be anti-Semitic, Kyle. I am very anti-Semitic. But, you know, when it comes to RFK, even like he's talking about anti-Semitism in the HHS, like what does that have to do with Health and Human Services? It doesn't have anything to do with that. So what are you talking about it for? Let's talk about how to make, you know, animal proteins and fruits and vegetables more ubiquitous and educate people on that, and also make it cheaper for people to buy those things so that way they could be healthier. Educate people on like, hey, hyperpalatable foods aren't good for you. Not necessarily like they're bad for you, but like you should probably limit your diet on that kind of stuff. And honestly, I would be okay with finding ways to help support research into Ozempic and help find way to reduce the potential side effects of that, and see if there's maybe other ways that we can mimic those same effects without needing to take an injection. Right? I mean, if you're at the Health and Human Services and you have this budget, shouldn't all of your money be going towards health and human longevity? In my mind, that's what I think it should be focused on, not anti-Semitism. Like, it's ridiculous. When it comes to Trump and like mass deportations, as far as I understand, they really hasn't been any. The numbers are down. They're arresting people, but they're throwing people in like high security prisons that sometimes weren't even guilty. They're here legally. Do they need to go back home? Yeah. I mean, if you deport a whole bunch of people who are here on green cards, I really wouldn't be upset. I don't like that there are people being thrown into prison that didn't really commit any crimes, but you got to go. You can't stay. I'm sorry. We have enough problems here in America. So I'm much more concerned about the way that Americans are being treated and, the prosperity of Americans before I'm ever concerned about the prosperity of immigrants. I'm sorry if that hurts people's feelings. It just is what it is. And now like this whole tariff situation where the stock market's going absolutely nuts. I told Jack this on Sunday, but don't go insane with like the stock market stuff. The stock market's largely a casino. And if you've been paying attention to any libertarian over the last like 10, 15 years, hopefully they've expressed this at some point or another, where it's basically the stock market is largely a casino where people and companies borrow money at very, very low interest rates, which interest rates are still very low, despite the fact that they're at like record highs for the last 20 years. Companies buy back their own stock to drive up the price. And then when there's news and something crashes, they'll sell. It's all so manipulated that like, it's once again, it's just a casino. You're not actually getting like a proper economic valuation from the stock market. Does that mean that there's no validity and that you shouldn't put any money in the stock market? No, but invest at your own risk and understand that it is largely a casino, driven by the Fed and the way that companies want to, you know, value their own company. If they want to drive down their stock, then they'll sell. If they want to drive it up, they'll buy more. It's not driven by people like us, right? It's not driven by us investing in a company because we have faith they're going to do good into the future. It's driven by these companies doing whatever the fuck they want to do. So I have money in the stock market. I've been investing in precious metals and mining. This isn't financial advice. It's just what I do. And, you know, I just kind of set it and forget it. I'm not sitting here waiting to buy the dip and sell the rip or whatever they say. I just kind of put some money in and then leave it go and invest every here and there. I try to invest in dividend paying funds so that way they can reinvest. And then maybe one day I could, you know, have a nice basically bank account sitting on dividends where I could just take money out of that. But like, you know, the stock market's largely a casino. And then like this whole trade war idea, I just think it's dumb. Like there's so many different ways to bring back manufacturing to America. And if you told me that you thought the best way was tariffs, I would kind of think you're dumb. Cause yeah, buy my gold, code word Kyle. Yeah, only if. But why not incentivize these companies to come back? Why not tell them, hey, you don't have to pay any taxes if you build factories here. I'm sure they'll come back. Or, you know, we'll help you. Even like, stop sending so much money to Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan and just say like, hey, we'll give you money to bring these factories back here and we'll even subsidize you to pay Americans to work here. Cool. Why not do that? Like the whole chips deal too. Like we can build those chips here. We don't need to go defend Taiwan. I read this on the show with Misty the other day, but yeah, they want to send more weapons to Taiwan to defend Taiwan from China, which who cares? If China wants to go take Taiwan, can we stop them? No. The war games that they've ran, we lose. 3,000 people die. We don't want that. But you're basically punishing Americans. And then like all these other countries that we have tariffs on, they have a demand for dollars, right? Because the dollar is, despite what anybody thinks, the cleanest shirt and dirty hamper. These other countries really like to have dollars because, once again, against their currency and all that, it's worth way more. So like a dollar to China, when they get dollars for us sending or for them sending us goods, that goes really far in their world. And they could also buy oil. They could, you know, navigate the world markets with dollars a lot easier than they could with yuan or whatever currency that they're choosing to trade in. So that being said, the Chinese yen, whatever the fuck it is, but they could go around the world easier if they have dollars. So when you place tariffs on that and then you decrease or incentivize decreasing consumption here in America, by putting tariffs on those goods, then that puts a little bit of a squeeze on China. But the thing that this is leaving out, that really kind of drives up prices here in America. But it also puts a squeeze on China. But this is where we're going to kind of see if the rubber can meet the road with BRICS. Can BRICS sustain themselves without dollars? I don't know. We'll see. But like this idea that like tariffs are going to bring China to its knees, if I'm being honest, I'm not convinced. I don't think it's going to happen. I think they may feel some short-term pain, but the Chinese may consume their goods themselves, even though there's still a lot of poor in their country. They're, you know, middle class, and their standard of living over there in China is rapidly growing while the American standard of living is decreasing. And then, you know, there's BYD, which is a very, very affordable EV, which I was talking about that a little bit earlier, like EVs. But if, you know, Brazil, India, any countries, you know, let's say North Korea, even Russia, if they want to consume stuff from China, then they'll just consume it rather than us having, you know, rather than China having to wait for US dollars to come over from US consumers, maybe they'll be fine without the US. Who knows? People bring up the point, and I've brought up this point many times too, that we send China billions of dollars in food every single year. The reason why they own, it's like 500,000 acres here in America, which is literally like nothing. Is for a pork company, Smithfield, right? That's the reason why they have all that farmland over here, and it's still not a lot. Like people are so dumb. But you know, we'll see how the Chinese economy fares with all these tariffs. I think they're probably gonna be fine, but we'll see. I miss when libs had the Edward said Orientalism view on the Chinese. Yeah, I'm not following you, but yeah, it's, we'll see. I, like I said, I think this is largely a nothing burger. if I'm being honest, because China's not the China it once was. We don't know how the world's going to act because it's not a unipolar world anymore. The unipolar moment is over. We're multipolar now, where Russia and China are serious players. They're not, you know, anywhere near the same economic output as the US, but it's coming. And, you know, we're either going to have to get with the program or fall behind. Now, I hope we don't fall behind because I think the US has the capability to stay ahead of things, but we'll just kind of see how that goes. So, I think that's most of everything I want to talk about today. I don't know what I'm going to do for episode 400, if I'm being honest. Oh, hold on. Let me read this here real quick. The existence and development of every culture impels the existence of a different inevitability, competitive other or alter ego. I have an idea for what I'll do, but Sunday I'm pretty busy. My wife and I are going camping this weekend, so I will not be on Rule Zero or Post Zero, unfortunately. I wish I could, but yeah, I'll be chilling with the dogs in our camper. It's gonna be cold this weekend here in Pennsylvania. Ugh. So hopefully it warms up. But anyways, make sure you hit all the links below for all that good stuff. Tiger Fitness, code Kyle at checkout. I will be having Mike Jackman on next week. We're going to talk JFK and horror films, which I think is just going to be a blast. I have an idea for what I'll do. I'll probably do a show Sunday night. I have an idea for the guest, and you guys will love him. He's been on the show before, and I've been on his show a whole bunch of times. So, but yeah, I think that's it. I don't got anything else. Make sure you go follow me on Twitter, Kyle Matovic. Matovcik. Like the video if you're here. Please like the video. Give it a thumbs up, all that good stuff. Become a channel member for $2.99 a month, and you will get some awesome GoPro footage from a common crown. And you also potentially get to see us in the studio. I'm going to try to get some videos because we are recording. So there will be new a common crown music soon. I don't know when, but we're going to do our best. Number 400, free Kyle OnlyFans. Ah, you spoiled it, Marty. Damn it. Anyways, thank you guys so much for listening. I just wanted to do a quick show tonight and just talk about all the news going on. But yeah, I think that's all I got. Like I said, were voters duped? Nah, I think they just do what they do. I don't think people are thinking about a lot of this stuff, but everything will be all right. All right, guys. Thanks.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menard. That patio you've been dreaming of is more affordable than you think. When you do it yourself, you save. Get free estimates using our landscaping design program in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on the largest selection of concrete landscaping blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.